The dollar rebounds.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. You know when you find a dollar bill in your laundry and it's all crinkled up and tattered? That's been the state of our currency the last couple of years. Anyone who's been to Europe knows that firsthand. It's affected the price of oil. It's behind inflation. But the dollar's looking a little crisper of late. Last week, the euro fell more than 3% against the dollar. Alisa Roth has more.
The currency market is settling down this morning after a crazy week last week. A euro is worth about $1.50 now, but it did drop below that briefly today. And currency watchers are wondering whether the European currency will continue its fall this week. Dave Solon is with Foreign Exchange Analytics. He says news that the effects of the mortgage crisis is spreading to Europe has been good for the dollar.
The view is that the U.S. was kind of the initial one into these set of problems, that the rest of the globe economically will be impacted, and the U.S. will be first one in, first one out.
He says the falling oil prices have also helped, since a lot of people associated high oil prices with a weak dollar. But it may be too soon to celebrate the return of the mighty greenback. Solon says he thinks a lot of the gain is just correction for the long fall over the last couple of years. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
The price of oil fell $5 on Friday. It's back up a little bit this morning, though, to about $116 a barrel. As for Wall Street, the Dow is down 32 points in the early going, 11,701. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 are pretty flat so far. In Asia today, China's stock market, still in a free fall, down another 5%. But the Nikkei gained 2%. European shares are up a bit so far. What sent oil back up is this conflict between Russia and Georgia. The fighting in Georgia could threaten a key oil pipeline. Let's bring in our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Stephen, tell us more about the pipeline.
It's the second longest pipeline in the world, 1,100 miles. It stretches from the Caspian Sea through Georgia, and it winds up on the Turkish Mediterranean coast, where the oil is shipped off, most of it, to Western Europe.
And how crucial is this pipeline to the world's oil supply?
Well, it's carrying about 1 million barrels a day, and it's the kind of crude that the West needs the most. It's the light, sweet crude that we want. From Europe's point of view, this pipeline is strategically very important because it doesn't pass through either Russia or Iran. It passes through countries that are broadly friendly to the West.
Well, Stephen, has this pipeline been damaged that we know of? And what are the prospects for it getting damaged during this conflict?
Well, there were reports at the weekend that Russia had dropped bombs in the vicinity of the pipeline. BP, which owns 30% stake in the pipeline, says it hasn't been damaged. Most of it is actually buried. However, actually, there was an attack on the Turkish section of the pipeline last week, apparently by Kurdish separatists, which closed the pipeline down, and a lot of oil had to be shipped by rail and other means. So there's no doubt that although it doesn't appear to have been damaged yet, it is vulnerable.
All right, Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Did you catch the Olympic opening ceremonies Friday night? Those fireworks were something, weren't they? Giant footprints parading across the sky. It was all fake. China's Beijing Times revealed today that a computer animator created the fireworks display. It took him almost a year. He made it look like the display was shot from a helicopter, even adding in camera shake. But there was no helicopter. He even put in fake pollution for the skyline. China wanted the show to be perfect, and I guess that's what it was.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting efforts that help save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. More on SCA risks and response at suddencardiacarrest.org. And by Gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about the economy at Gather.com.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
The Chicago Cubs are having a great season, but they are on the auction block. Tribune Chairman Sam Zell has put the Cubs up for sale. Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine says with this deal, Zelle might be doing a little tax dodging. Alan, what do you mean?
Well, it's too bad he doesn't own the L.A. Dodgers, but we'll let that go. If you look at everything Zelle has done, or much of what he's done over his career, which is almost 40 years, and you look at the Tribune deal, you see there's a tremendous pattern of making sure no money or a minimal amount of money goes for income taxes to Uncle Sam.
Well, how does he do that?
Well, in the case of Tribune, he concocted a scheme that turned Tribune from a standard, boring C corporation where the company pays tax and shareholders pay tax on whatever dividends they get, into what's called an S corporation where the shareholders pay taxes directly, except the only shareholder of record for the S corporation is an employee stock ownership plan, which is tax exempt. So at the end of the day, the whatever operating profits Tribune has are tax-free.
Well, how does this affect the company and its employees?
Well, the company is in, as you know, big trouble because
right.
Zelle borrowed way too much money, and the company's having a lot of trouble making its interest and principal payments. And if it becomes taxable, these sales of Newsday and the Cubs and all that become taxable, it would be bad for the company and bad for the employees. But what Zelle did in buying the thing was already bad for the company and bad for the employees.
So, Alan, then why are you pulling for Zelle to lose this tax game?
If Zelle can get away with this, with paying no taxes on the operating profits because he made it an S corporation,
mm-hmm.
and then not paying any taxes on the built-in gains at the time of conversion, that then becomes a template for a lot of other companies to try to do the same thing, and that's not a good thing.
All right, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Thanks.
You're welcome, Scott.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.